Most of us will recognize the phrase, practice what you preach. You may have been told that. You may have used that expression yourself. It's certainly a very important one. And today, we're beginning a series of lessons from the book of James. The book of James could have as its theme, practice what you preach. It's a small book, but it's a very powerful book because it tells us that our Christianity has to be lived out on a daily basis. It's not something we put on Sunday morning, we come to church, and then we take it off when we get home. That is not Christianity. James tells us in his book how to live out our Christianity, because true faith is a practical faith. True faith is a practical faith. As with most books, it's so important for us to understand who the author is. This morning's lesson is going to focus on who is this James? Who is he? What's his background? Where did he come from? Why is he writing? There's a number of people in the Bible who have that name of James. Most of them can be eliminated very quickly as to ones being the possible author of this book. When you put together all the material we have, when we look at the book itself and what it teaches, look at those people who are called James, and look at all the inferences in this book and other books, we're led to really the only possible conclusion as to who this James is, and that is James the Lord's brother. James the Lord's brother. Back in Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 53 and following, we're given some information about this. Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 53. Matthew 13, verse 53. The book says, "Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these parables, that he departed from there. And when he had come to his own country," that's back to Nazareth, "he taught them in their synagogues, that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where did this man get all these things?" There's some information we have, first of all, about a man named James. He would be Jesus' what? His half-brother. His half-brother. In Jude verse 1, when Jude writes about his background, let's turn to Jude verse 1. We'll find out some more information. Jude verse 1. Of course, Jude's a very, very small book. One page in my Bible. Jude verse 1. Notice this. "Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James." And brother of James. Who was one of those listed back in Matthew 13 as being a brother of Jesus? Judas, or as it would be more commonly called, Jude in that case. So here we have some information about who this James is. James is the Lord's brother, his half-brother. His brother Jude wrote this short book called Jude, the short letter called Jude. In Galatians chapter 1, we find out some more information about this man called James. Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Galatians chapter 1, verse 18. This, of course, is written by Paul, and it says this, "Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother." James, the Lord's brother, was not one of the original 12 apostles. But just like Barnabas, Barnabas is called an apostle, not that he was one of the original 12, but because he was one of those appointed. You know, he was appointed to be an ambassador, a witness of Christ. Here, James, the Lord's brother, is called an apostle, just like Barnabas was in Acts chapter 14. Notice what we know so far about James. He's the Lord's brother. He had other brothers and sisters. One of those brothers was Jude, who wrote the book of Jude. Now, that's really a lot of information already about James that we know. He grew up with Jesus. What's his history? His parents, of course, were Joseph and Mary. Joseph is called a just man. He was an honorable man. Joseph was a good man. What was Jesus taught as he was growing up? He was taught the law of Moses. He was taught the importance of observing the law of Moses. So what was James taught? The law of Moses. He was taught the importance of observing the law of Moses. James is listed first in that group of brothers, probably because he was the oldest. So after Jesus, then James would have been the next one. The next one. Here we have Jesus and James growing up in the same household, same parents, hearing the same lessons. James would have known about Jesus staying in Jerusalem when he was 12. James would have known about what happened in Jerusalem when Jesus stayed there, that he was listening and talking to the teachers in the temple. James grew up with Christ. They were in the same household. They were in the same family. They would have done things together. Him and Jesus would have worked together. Knew each other very, very well, as siblings do. This is the one who wrote the book of James. But one of the most amazing things we find out about James, he wasn't one of Jesus' disciples. He didn't believe that Jesus, at first, was actually the Son of God. In John chapter 7, we are told about this. John chapter 7, we'll begin reading in verse 1. John chapter 7, we'll begin reading in verse 1. Verse 1 says, John chapter 7, after these things, he's talking about, at the end of John chapter 6, a lot of Jesus' disciples turn away from him because the things he was teaching was too difficult, too hard for them to follow. So after that, John chapter 7, verse 1, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brothers, remember that James and Jude and the others, therefore said to him, to Jesus, depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples, not us, but your disciples may see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. For even his brothers did not believe in him. Jesus was 30, 31 at this time, so James would have probably been in his late 20s. So for years and years and years, James did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah. He was certainly an adult. And he had heard Jesus talk about these things. Had been with Jesus on more than one occasion. So he knew about what Jesus had said and done. But him and Jude and the other brothers did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God. So they told Jesus, go into Judea. And those people who are following you, and Jesus had followers at this time, will see the works that you are doing. Because they didn't believe. What happens when Jesus is on the cross? What happens when Jesus is on the cross? Does he tell his brothers to take care of his mother Mary? No. He doesn't tell James or Jude or the other brothers or the sisters to take care of his mother. Who does he tell? John. He said, John, behold your mother. That's what he does. That's what Jesus does. See, his brothers weren't believers. None of them were believers at that time. Not James, not Jude. None of them were believers. So instead of asking them to watch over his mother, what does he say? John, you take care of her. John, she is your mother. Watch out for her, take care of her, protect her, care for her like she's your own mother. Well, things change. We do know James was married. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're told about that very fact. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5. Paul is talking about the fact that he's an apostle and that they have, you know, rights to do certain things. Notice verse 5 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9 says this. Do we have no right to take along a believing wife, as do also the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord, and Cephas, or Peter? He says the brothers of the Lord have a right to take a believing wife. Don't we? And of course, they did have a right. So we find out James was married. We also find out he did not become a believer until after the resurrection. Until after the resurrection. That's what it took for him to become a believer. Acts chapter 1. Let's turn back now. Acts chapter 1. Jesus has, of course, risen from the grave. Acts chapter 1. And we'll read verses 13 and 14. Jesus has ascended into heaven. Now verses 13 and 14. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Wonder how many times we've read that and didn't realize the part about his brothers being there. Why were they waiting there? Because they believed that Jesus was actually the Son of God now. He had risen from the dead, had ascended into heaven. They're with the apostles. All but Judas, of course. They're in the upper room with these others. And of course, the next thing that happens is they choose the next apostle. So he was in his late 20s, early 30s before he ever became a believer. I think there's a lesson to learn there. Here was a guy that grew up in the household of Mary and Joseph, grew up with Jesus, heard Jesus' claims later in life about who he was, had witnessed him doing all kinds of things, had saw what kind of character he had, saw, you know, what his nature was like. But during all of that time, he never became a believer until after the resurrection. That's really amazing. You know, sometimes we think, well, how's that possible? How could you have been with Jesus all that time and not been a believer? Well, it took the resurrection for him to become a believer. And we don't know today what it's going to take people to become a believer or how long it's going to take people to become a believer. I told the story last week about an elder I knew who it took years and years and years for him to ever even become a believer. But once he did, he became a very strong one. But it took a long time for him to become convinced. Well, so it did for James as well. It took a long time for him to become convinced that Jesus was really who he claimed to have been. The Son of God, the Messiah. But he did eventually believe. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we find out something in addition that was a major event in James's life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. This is Paul talking about Jesus and what happened after the resurrection. So, what Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians 15 goes hand in hand with what we read about James and the other brothers being in the upper room after the resurrection. So those two things happen in the same time frame. So notice what Paul is talking about here. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I deliver to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that He was seen by James, then by all of the apostles. Then last of all, He was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. James saw the risen Savior. Saw the risen Savior. Later he became a very strong, influential leader in the Lord's church in Jerusalem. In Galatians chapter 2, we're told about this. Galatians chapter 2, verse 9. Galatians 2, verse 9. Paul is recounting his mission work to the Gentiles. And he talks to the leaders in the church at Jerusalem. Notice verse 9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, this is in Jerusalem, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. James grew up Jewish, but he was also very concerned that the Gentiles hear the gospel preached. So when Paul comes and tells them about the work him and Barnabas have been doing among the Gentiles, what do James, Cephas, and John do? Give them the right hand of fellowship. Tell them they're all behind them. They're glad to know that's what they are doing. In Acts chapter 15, we're told about a meeting with the Jerusalem council. In Acts chapter 15, beginning in verse 12. This is when Paul and Barnabas go to the Jerusalem council to meet with the men of the Jerusalem church. Beginning in verse 12 of Acts 15. Then all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. And after they had become silent, James answered. Now James kind of gets up before the whole group and speaks. You know, James is a pillar in that church. James is a very, you know, well-respected, strong, influential, faithful member of that church. So James gets up and says, "Men and brethren, Listen to me. Listen to me. Simon has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written. After this, I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins. I will set it up, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things. Known to God from eternity are all His works. Therefore, I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God. James, he was a pillar in the church at this time. He was speaking for the whole group of men there in the Jerusalem church. It shows what kind of character he had. What does he do? He goes back to the Old Testament and quotes, even the Old Testament prophets said that the Gentiles would have the gospel preached to them, that they would be a part of the great family of God. Even though he had grown up in a Jewish family with Jewish parents, he was still very concerned about the Gentiles. We have a little background of who this man was. But James begins his book in James chapter 1, verse 1, with these words. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't begin the book by saying, James, a brother of the Messiah. Or James, a pillar of the church at Jerusalem. Or James, a leader in the church at Jerusalem. He doesn't do that. Even though he was a physical brother of Christ, even though he was a leader in the church, how does he begin his book? He just identifies himself as a servant, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though his early life was one of unbelief, even though he grew up with the Messiah, he didn't become a believer until after the Messiah was resurrected from the dead. But once he became a believer, he never looked back. He became stronger and stronger and stronger in the faith, became a very influential Christian in the first century. And what he thought about more than anything was that he was a slave, a servant of God. And he's best remembered not for being the brother of Jesus, not for being a pillar in the church, but for writing his book on pure religion. That's what he's remembered for. And what a tremendous memory he has left for us. This is the author of this tremendous book. And if there's one thing we've learned from this morning's lesson, regardless of how we are brought up, regardless of our circumstances, regardless about our parents, regardless about what kind of faith we had growing up, we can make a major difference in the world. We can do that by placing our faith in Christ and obeying Him. Saying that we are your servants. And we can make a tremendous difference in the world. This morning, think about what kind of difference you're making. Are you, number one, a Christian? Have you been immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins? And if you have, what kind of life have you been leading? Is it a life of influence? Are you a person of faith? Are you living your faith out in the world? If you're not, you need to come and ask for forgiveness and ask for strength. And if you need to respond in any of those ways, don't wait any longer, but come, let's stand while we sing this song.